On this episode, we showcase the journey of Epsilon Digital Marketing, a global leader in outcome-based marketing. We go inside their work with the AWS prototyping team to modernize their taxonomy solutions and digital marketing platform with generative AI in a secure, serverless architecture, helping the world's top brands personalize experiences for millions of people. From Epsilon Digital Marketing, I'm excited to welcome John Connolly, Senior Vice President of Data Engineering. John, thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And also from Epsilon, we have Andy McNallis, Lead of the Marketplace and Taxonomy Teams. Andy, welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
And from our AWS prototyping team, we have our prototyping engineer, Patrick O'Connor. Patrick, thanks so much for being with us today.
It's good to be back.
So, John, for our international listeners, can you tell us a little bit about Epsilon Digital Marketing and what you do?
Sure. So Epsilon Digital is the component within larger Epsilon that's very specifically focused on serving advertising on the internet. Most people know that when you go to websites, you're going to see banner ads, that these are fueled by, you know, real-time auctions that are taking place behind the scenes, that every time that there's a new link that has a banner ad on the page, those ad units are all being bid on in the ecosystem, and everyone is working to have the best knowledge of the consumer. At Epsilon, we very much work in what we can call, you know, privacy by design as our foundational principles. We do a lot of work to make sure that we do not ever contain any personally identifiable information inside of our advertising data set. All of the consumer, you know, personally identifiable information has been pseudonymized and scrubbed before we've taken possession of any of that data, so that we can build privacy into the online profile. When we work with our client roster, then we're going to see their consumers that get pseudonymized. We're going to see their transactional details. We're going to see their product dictionary. It's that product dictionary then that allows us to really have a robust understanding of what a consumer is purchasing. A pseudonymized consumer is purchasing, and what a consumer is browsing online, so that we can really, you know, personalize the ad units back to that individual consumer to give them the most relevant content possible. Most people understand, you know, you're going to be advertised to on the internet. We're trying to make it as painless as possible.
Right. And so, Andy, we're going to go a little bit behind the scenes, because most people are familiar, but might not understand the complexity that's involved in actually personalizing these ads for consumers. Can you tell us a little bit about the technology landscape that you had before and then sort of where you're going?
Well, so first of all, my team is responsible for onboarding our clients' data. So again, we get the pseudonymized customer information of our clients. We get their transactions and we get their product information. So we know what they're purchasing, as well as the information or the metadata about those products. We leverage that so that we can analyze buying patterns and once again, advertise something that is relevant to the individual, so that they will take action, hopefully going into one of our clients' stores or their website to make a purchase.
Right. And so the complexity of that data is in just the volume as well as the distinction and variability. Is that right?
True. In addition to our clients' first-party data, we also have a lot of third-party metadata about individuals that either our company provides those assets or we go out into the open market and we buy that, which helps us further personalize the ads that we're delivering to those individuals.
Fantastic. And so, John, how did you come to work with AWS and Patrick in the prototyping team, and what were you trying to achieve specifically in this engagement?
So we have a legacy solution that does what we call the taxonomization of all of our clients' product dictionaries. What we are looking for to get out of that is, you know, every, you know, client is going to have their own unique way that they look at their product data. They're going to have their own unique hierarchy, their own unique attributes of those products. And really, we are trying to build a taxonomy process that, you know, treats all client data as uniform and really tries to standardize on an internal hierarchy, standardize on an internal brand definition, standardize on what we call the lookup key that allows us to say, hey, if you purchased these types of SKUs or if you have browsed these types of SKUs online, we are now able to give you better product recommendations, knowing where you've already spent your time as a consumer, and really make that, you know, that the data-driven piece of the creative unit that you're seeing in those ads that you're being served on the internet, knowing that the imagery is fulfilled behind the scenes based off of, you know, your past browsing behavior or your past purchase behavior. So our taxonomy application is central to being able to standardize those definitions and allow us then to personalize ad units on behalf of consumers.
And that personalization also has to happen in an incredibly rapid response. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, our enterprise server bid bus, you know, we see, 700 billion bid requests every single day. And that basically when we are hit with that bid request in real time, you know, in milliseconds, we have to formulate, you know, the response, yes, no, we will be bidding. And if we are bidding, here is the ad unit that we are bidding on. So based off of the profile, all of those operations are leveraged in millisecond decision making.
And you said billion with a B, 7 billion.
700 billion.
700
per
billion.
Day, yes.
Amazing.
The internet's is a big place. Yes.
Absolutely. Right. Just to set that scale in context for our listeners and how that really relates, Patrick, then into the type of architecture we're using to help Epsilon. Can you maybe take us through when you started working with the team and some of that, those design patterns that you used?
Yeah, so as John and Andy referred to it, this prototype was exciting because we weren't only dealing with Gen AI, but we were trying to scale Gen AI to large amount. So a lot of data, 700 billion, just giving scale to what they're operating with, but more specifically on the taxonomy process, they were looking for an ability to be able to pump through quite a lot of records, you know, whether it's in the millions or a couple of hundred thousands. That was a consideration that we had to account for when designing this prototype, as well as linking it in. So taking a journey through the architecture, the first thing that I thought of is how can we leverage the distributed capabilities of AWS? So more closer to services, think about EMR, distributed PySpark network, that is really built on processing a lot of data, but how can we uniquely spin it and twist it so that we can leverage distributed capabilities to then leverage a managed Gen AI service, which is Bedrock. And that sort of alludes to a rough outline of the architectural approach on this, is how can we balance a series of a couple of thousands of records at a distributed rate through a Gen AI pipeline is really the excitement of where this prototype really came together.
And Andy, that maybe we can dig into some of the details of what we're actually doing with all that data.
Sure. So we have probably three main processes that we use when we're taxonomizing product data. The first one is something we call buyer, and that basically takes a client's product catalog and maps it to their website via what we call lookup keys. And again, it kind of takes a look at the product's description, the product's categorizations that we have on file, and then we also look at the client's website to try to map that out. So that's the first thing. The second thing we try to do is we need to standardize on brand names. Retail media networks are very in vogue now. You hear a lot about them. And so we try to leverage brand names to help advertise those brands to individuals And the clients benefit from that, as do like the brand manufacturers, because they're getting their products advertised directly for or from our clients. And then the third thing is where we try to harmonize the categorization of those products. Pretty much if you have a red sweater from one retailer and a red sweater from another retailer, they're going to have different product hierarchies and different categorizations. And in order for us to make sense of that data, we just try to harmonize those categorizations across our clients, if you will. So those are the three sort of main functions that our taxonomy tool does. Today, we're using a really out-of-date piece of software that is no longer supported by the authors of that software. And so we were looking for something new. And that's where this AWS prototyping opportunity came up.
Yeah. So, Patrick, maybe take us through the approach that you had. I understand you took it in two steps, right?
Yeah. So as Andy was referring to there, when we engaged with the customer, the first sort of step in understanding this modernization or this uplift to a newer scheme was to first understand the original system. And Andy sort of referred to it there as one of them being the buyer process. And John mentioned before the lookup key being able to dynamically ingest the way it was previously done from a legacy standpoint was more rule driven in the sense that logic gates will sort of take in a product and say, okay, here's a series of things we're going to do. And we're going to get you your magic result. What we did in this prototype was we took this rule idea and we played with it a little bit. We said, what are the capabilities of GenAI? And one of those capabilities is GenAI is really good at inferring meaning, especially when context is surrounded around it. So whilst the rule application applied, so taking that rules and offering it through EMR, how can we generalize the allocation a bit more using GenAI? So that we don't need a rule for every declaration or we don't need exceptions for every declaration. So Andy said before, if a red sweater comes from A and for supplier B, it's called like shiny red sweater. Do we need a rule for both of them? Not really. If they're both sort of the same, we need to be able to allocate them. So that's sort of like the one section in bringing GenAI to sort of create a more generalized pattern to pump it through. But then the second part is to also value the human interaction in this loop as well. So we actually presented, you know, this legacy product provided an interface to be able to deal with all this data set. So how can we showcase that, but customize it more on the AWS side? And that's really the second part is where whilst we have this distributed capability behind the scenes, we also introduced the UI where they could fine tune on a catalog level. They could fine tune on a product level, but they can also play around with the interaction, which is internally how their folk or their stakeholders will interact with this taxonomy process.
Mm. And that continuity, John, imagining is super important for you as a leader to ensure that folks are able to adopt this new technology.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that's really very exciting about it is, as Patrick was referencing it, this legacy application that we're retiring was very rules based. And, you know, when you're just dealing with the type of product volumes that we are, millions and millions of SKUs that need classification, you know, the rules work great. And then you have a lot of exceptions where the rules don't work so great. And that was a lot of manual human intervention to find those exceptions and to override them, if you will. And that's what I think is, you know, so exciting here is the idea that the taxonomy specialists that we have who perform this function inside of our organization are going to be having to doing a lot less of navigating for where these exceptions are occurring and then allowing the AI, you know, the generative AI capabilities to come along and evolve and actually make these assignments where they will learn, you know, better over time. I mean, not in a true ML way, but, you know, the AI actually being able to try and give that assignment where the rule, you know, the context around it is where the rule failed, and that's why it became an exception. The context around it within the AI is now going to allow for a proper assignment, a better assignment right out of the gates. And I think that's, you know, really exciting for the people who do this, is less manual review, less manual intervention, and, you know, more ability to evolve the product.
Right, right. To add in, Andy, more of that secret sauce that you're providing to your end customers. Yeah.
Yeah. And just to add to that, if you think about the rules and the exceptions that we have in place with our current taxonomy tool, it's pretty much been generated over the course of 10 to 15 years. So there's a lot of intellectual property built into these rules and exception. We actually call that the post-processing, because we get output out of the tool, we look for the exceptions, and then we've written basically SQL and processes to then apply the exceptions to where the tool didn't hit the mark. So, and what we're seeing with the Gen AI solution is that we're sort of leveraging prompt or prompt engineering to help guide the Gen AI tool to give us the output that we're expecting. So it's sort of being proactive with feeding the data in, as to being reactive with looking at the output and having to, you know, compensate for its, you know, discrepancies.
Right. And John, that presumably makes it faster and easier for you to scale to even more customers and clients. Yeah.
That is absolutely a big win, right? The ability that we're going to be able to run more with less manual review, and you'll be able to expand its scope because it's doing fewer things better, right? It's you know, making these assignments and allowing them to, you know, kind of evolve over time in a way that, you know, like, is consistent with what the output needs of the application are, and allowing the people who are doing that taxonomy function to really evolve their capabilities inside of processing that data rather than, you know, manually reviewing it or needing to override it.
Right, right. And one of the things you said earlier on that I really appreciated is this idea of privacy by design, building privacy right into the foundation of your architecture, of all of the systems that you have. So important to be at the forefront of that regulatory environment, right?
Oh, yes. And those regulatory requirements, they do not stop, right? They just keep coming one after the other, and new things that need to be built. But, you know, we think of, you know, ourselves at Epsilon here as, you know, we're groundbreakers there. And, you know, we invented privacy by design. We've always had this built into the framework of everything that we've done, and putting the consumer first and center on that, you know, is really paid, you know, just dividends of the idea that when you do things right, you know, there have been, you know, notoriously bad actors out on the internet, and people who have not, you know, built consumer privacy into the center of everything that they've done. And that's why a lot of this regulatory, you know, environment exists. We have, you know, no problems complying with it because of the foundation that we've put in place.
Wonderful. And maybe, Patrick, you can walk us through some of the patterns that you use and some of the art design and services that you brought into helping continue that legacy.
Yeah, I mean, a first good starter is the EMR service itself. So the beauty about interacting with an AWS account is once the data comes into the account, so we're talking about large amounts of data, EMR has a native connectivity into its own S3 or into the S3 service suite. So when you're using PySpark framework on EMR distributed systems, it is able to rapidly, at high pace, bring in a large amount of data in, which is exactly what is being done by Epsilon, but it does it through without the need of leaving resources that are contained within that AWS account. And that goes for the same as Bedrock itself. Whilst these are third-party Gen AI models, they're actually being executed within AWS compute resources. So think about, you know, prompt engineering. When you're sending off your prompts, that's actually contained within your account or within the AWS sphere. And as you're moving all of this data around, as we're allocating all of these lookup keys, we're not only containing it within AWS, but there are other measures as well that can actually allow you to not even traverse the internet, but rather use the backbone of AWS resources, so referring to VPC endpoints. There are a lot of measures here that you can do to make sure that once the data comes into the account, you can do all of this magical transformation without the need of even leaving that AWS account.
Right, right. Just zooming back, again, touch on something you talked about being that groundbreaker, you know, doing this kind of innovation and experimentation. John, we say at Amazon that it's not an experiment if you know the exact answer, right? And there's always some level of trial and error that you're doing as you hone in on and iteratively build towards the solution. Was there something here that was a surprising or an obstacle that we had to overcome?
Well, I think that, you know, anytime that you're doing, a shift in your system of record, there's always going to be some, level of nervousness that, like, hey, I have to make sure that I can match the outputs that I was given beforehand. And we thought, I think that, going down this generative AI path would be a really interesting experiment. But I think the thing that I was, very pleasantly surprised with was, it really did not take a ton of iterations, right? We thought that we would really have to extensively train, make sure that all of our previous assignments had been in there in the generative AI components. Well, they need some, seeding of your rules, and what's been done to date. For the most part, after that, they didn't need an incredible amount of training. From a number of iterations, I'd say we spent a lot more time on the engineering side of getting it to be performant for our data volumes than we actually had to do as far as validating the output. The output, was really solid right out of the bat, right out of the gate. So it was a pleasant surprise.
Wonderful to hear. And as we look to the future after the prototype's been complete, what's next, Andy, in terms of those next steps?
Well, so we're obviously continuing down the path with this, and we've got kind of three areas to look at. The first is a data pipeline. So we need to kind of construct a data pipeline coming from our systems, which are on-prem systems, and pulling that data into AWS when we want to, run it through the solution. There's also a bit of a user interface that we need to put some finishing touches on for our taxonomy team to be able to, number one, request data be, pulled through the pipeline and into the solution, obviously run the solution, be able to do a little bit of QA on the data, just to look, and then be able to publish the data to our downstream applications that leverage the data. So those are pretty much the three areas that we're focusing on as far as building a production-ready system.
Right. Sounds exciting. And like there's exciting things on the horizon for consumers and even deeper personalization for them as they go through. And I thank you all for being here today and sharing your journey with us. I'll ask just as we wrap up, if you reflect on the experience or what your biggest takeaways were, I'll start with you, Patrick, and what you learned from this prototype.
Yeah, sure. I mean, John and Andy will probably laugh for the time when Discovery, the marketing system for me, just understanding even the idea of what is a SKU. So when we were doing Discovery, I kept saying, what's a SKU? What's a SKU? And this is just a new learning for myself. The main takeaway for me is really understanding the marketing process, how this data is being used to create personalized experience. But more surprisingly, the scale to which this data is operating at. It's an experience for me to be able to see that perspective, but then try to map that into this new technology that's been popping off for a little bit called Gen AI, going deep into the nuts of tokens and distributions. It's a fun space, and you know, this prototype has granted me that ability to learn more about it.
Fantastic. Andy, how about you? What would be your reflection or something you would maybe share with listeners who might be undertaking this kind of transformation?
Yeah, I've got a long list, actually. So, you know, number one, it was great working with Patrick and the rest of the prototype team. And really, it is remarkable what Patrick was able to. Number one, he had to learn what our current system does and a little bit about our business, and then, you know, present a solution to us. And he did all of that in 4 weeks, which quite honestly is remarkable. So that was really surprising. Secondly, our the resources on my team, we have worked with AWS. We have some solutions in AWS that are more, you know, virtual server based. So to us, it was really just sort of another, you know, server we log into, deploy our software to, whatnot. This solution, though, is using, you know, serverless technology. It's using EMR. It's using Bedrock. So that, you know, brought my team's technical skills into a whole new arena. And, you know, the learning curve wasn't that bad, but when Patrick turned it over to us, we were sort of, I don't know if, you know, technology struck, if you will. We did have to learn a few things in order for us to move the product forward. And since then, it is really amazing how far we've come. You know, John had mentioned that we were having some throughput or performance type challenges. And again, working through, you know, trying different things, we actually did work with a couple of other AWS resources to help us over that hump where we're actually seeing the fruits of those labors. So that was something else that was a little surprising, is just kind of dealing with this new generative AI technology, you know, just kind of understanding the process, being able to understand the various parameters that we needed to kind of set. Again, it's interesting to see the technical growth of the team, kind of learning all of that stuff and having it unfold, and then actually seeing the success of what we've been able to achieve.
Yeah, thank you, Andy and John. Final words for you, your reflections.
I guess you know, my closing thoughts would be is this was a, you know, a maiden generative AI voyage for myself and for the rest of the team. And you know, when you've been hearing these buzzwords for a while, you know, about AI and prompt engineering, and it's like that, I don't know, that fear of the unknown, like that sounds really, really complicated. And I'm not going to go on record here and say it's easy. It was, the barriers to entry here were less than I anticipated. And so, like, if you can find the right business use case within your organization, that you think Gen AI would make, a difference for and help you evolve your current capabilities, I'd say that, like, you know, just jump in the pool, right? I mean, get your feet wet and start figuring out, like, you know, how it can work for your shop, because, again, it was not as overwhelming, as it would have seemed, you know, trying to start this, conceptually, months ago from a blank sheet of paper. And of course, Patrick and his team, they had a big, hand in making it, you know, seem easy and seamless, because, you know, they had the expertise that we did not. And so, for that, we're very thankful.
I really love that notion of grounding that use of technology and getting your hands dirty with something in the value that it's bringing to the business first and foremost, because that's what will create that positive flywheel, right? With upskilling your folks and continuously iterating on behalf of your end customer. So thank you all for being with us today and sharing your journey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, innovators and builders, listen up. The AWS prototyping team is hiring. Come build with us the type of game-changing cloud solutions you hear about here on Innovation Ambassadors. Check out the description links for details on these unique opportunities to drive innovation through AWS prototyping.